The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast joins you 2 days removed from opening day at Miller Park in Milwaukee. The St. Louis Cardinals are going to be coming to town March 28th. The season is already here, and it is time to get geared up for yet another campaign of Brewers baseball. It's going to be a fun one, coming off of a playoff year, seventh game of the NLCS. I know this is about as excited as people can get for Milwaukee Brewers baseball, and we got to talk about it one last time before you get to Miller Park and start tailgating for that big first game of the year. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast. Hopefully you've already found us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify, but if not, check us out there. Consider subscribing to us. You can leave us a rating or review. Obviously, you can also let us know how you like the podcast on Twitter at J.R. Radcliffe, J-R-R-A-D-C-L-I-F-F-E. I'm going to be joined in mere moments by Tom Hodricourt, Brewers beat reporter, covering the Milwaukee Brewers. He is up in Montreal, Canada, where the preseason, spring training, I guess, is sort of over, and sort of a couple exhibition games here as the final leg of the preseason comes to an end. The Brewers are facing the Toronto Blue Jays. They played Monday night. They mashed the ball and won big, and then we'll have one more game Tuesday night before a day off, come home to Milwaukee, and get set for that day game, that 1:05 first pitch against the St. Louis Cardinals on Thursday, opening day, coming at you in late March. It's still going to be chilly out. It's still going to feel like not spring, but make no mistake about it, spring is here, and Brewers baseball is about to get underway. I talked a lot with Tom about some of the last sort of housekeeping things that the Brewers have been undertaking here in the final days. They made some roster moves. Eric Kratz traded to San Francisco. Bullpen relief pitcher Alex Wilson has been brought into the fold and will be starting the year with the team. They named their starting rotation since we last chatted, and that basically features all three of the young pitchers that we thought would certainly figure into the mix. Weren't sure that if they would necessarily break camp as members of the starting rotation, but sure enough, Brandon Woodruff, Freddie Peralta, and Corbin Burns are all in that mix. They join Zach Davies and Yuli Chacin. It's going to be a very different rotation than it was at the start of the season last year. Obviously, Jimmy Nelson is still a wild card. We didn't talk much about him on this podcast, but he did get a cortisone shot, believes to still be on track to get some early action in AAA, and he could be here at some point early in the season, May, mid to late April, I guess, or early May seems a little more likely. Obviously, the bullpen injuries are top of mind, with Jeremy Jeffress starting the season on the injured list, and Corey Knebel as well with a UCL injury that theoretically could keep him out the entire season. That's definitely something that has a lot of Brewers fans concerned. Before we knew about that, he was a part of the main story in our Brewers preview section that you probably found Sunday in your Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or online at jsonline.com. That is subscriber-only content. You can find our latest subscription deals at jsonline.com/deal. Lots of good stuff and an opportunity at the start of the Brewers season to get a really good discounted rate. And that will give you full access to articles written by Tom, by Todd Rosiak, by myself, by anybody on the Journal staff. Even if you want to follow the Milwaukee Bucks, Matt Velasquez does a great job over there. They're going to be the top seed in the playoffs, most likely in the Eastern Conference playoffs. So you really want to get as up to date as you can. And jsonline.com/deal is the place to go to get your subscription discount now. And it'll be a fun ride. It should be great. I'll be out there Thursday with Tom, with Todd, checking out the action and hopefully seeing the beginning of what will be yet another thrilling, exciting season of baseball in Milwaukee. Without much more ado, let's bring in Tom Hodricourt and chat about this Brewers team as we prepare ourselves for opening day. Here now is Tom Hodricourt, Milwaukee Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tom is in Montreal. Tom, I believe Hodricourt is a French name. Are we going to do this podcast entirely in French?
I'm embarrassed to say that despite Hodricourt being a French name, I do not speak a lot of French, so I'm letting my ancestors down in that regard.
Well, hopefully you can still get your way around Quebec. The Brewers won the first of two exhibition games against the Toronto Blue Jays. They were mashing the ball. They've had a really nice stretch here at the end of spring training. Opening day right around the corner. Hopefully you saw the massive Brewers preview section in JS Online, in the physical Journal Sentinel at jsonline.com. And we'll start with that because the cover story there was about the bullpen, the electric dudes, as Craig Counsell has dubbed them, including Jeremy Jeffress, Corey Knebel, and Josh Hader. We know now that that Jeremy Jeffress will not start the year healthy, and Corey Knebel has a UCL issue that threatens, I guess threatens this whole season. I'm curious what the latest is on Knebel, if there is a latest update. That you hear UCL and you assume the guy is going to be out for the year. I know that's not exactly what they're facing right now, but I'm gathering that the Brewers aren't expecting to have him back at all for the first part of the season, if not the whole season.
Well, they're certainly not going to have him for a while, and the question is, will they have him at all in 2019? Knebel's in the process now of getting some other opinions on his elbow. Here's a situation with him that makes it difficult to figure out exactly what is going on and what to do. He has been pitching since 2015 with a slight tear and his ulnar collateral ligament. He was shut down when he was with Detroit in 2014, did rest and therapy and not surgery, and he's been pitching with it since then. And who knows how many pitchers are pitching with damage, you know, to their UCL. It's a very common pitching injury. But anyway, it started bothering him again in spring training. And so then they take MRI of it, and they're trying to discern what's old and what's new, if anything. And so they're going to get as many opinions as they can on this. That's how gray the area is with this injury. And then they'll give Knebel the information, and it'll be up to him to decide, you know, what they're going to do about it. A common method of addressing this is to do therapy and quite often a PRP injection, which is a platelet-rich plasma injection. There's been some success with that method in getting the elbow a lot better. Brandon Kinsler had that when he was with the Brewers. He had that therapy. Even Keston Hira, their number one prospect, when he was in college, he had a slight tear. He had that PRP and it healed it. So there are some cases where it's worked. Then there's some cases where it hasn't worked. Taylor Williams, specifically with the Brewers. And the double jeopardy that applies if that doesn't work is that now you've probably wasted 2 or 3 months. And when I say wasted, as far as moving that forward with the surgery, and Tommy John surgery is going to sideline you for a year as it is. So if you wait 2 or 3 months, try the other therapy and it doesn't work, then it backs you up even more from returning to action. Taylor Williams missed 2 years by trying to do it that way. But you know, surgery should always be the last option for anybody on anything. And so it's going to be interesting. That decision will have to be Corey Knebel's. They'll give him for all the information they have. It's his career. Then he'll decide what he wants to do. So best case scenario would be therapy and the PRP working, and then maybe they get him back by mid-season. Otherwise, they're not going to have him this year.
Naturally, the next step reaction for Brewers fans is to say, well, Craig Kimbrel is still out there. We mentioned him briefly on the last podcast, and shortly after we recorded, there was some serious smoke around the connection between Kimbrel and Milwaukee. And if there's one thing I know about David Stearns, it's that when he makes major moves, they don't happen with a big buildup. You don't hear a lot about it. They just happen. And obviously Christian Yelich, Lorenzo Cain, the best example of that. So the fact that that story was out there and then kind of fizzled and died tells me that there probably isn't much to it, that it was, as you have said over and over, they're just doing their due diligence. It doesn't mean a deal is necessarily imminent. There was a tweet about how the Braves might be involved now with Kimbrel. My perception of that is pretty much that ship has sailed. I know, of course, anything could still happen, but it seems like if it's been out there, nothing happened right away, that the Brewers are probably not in on Kimbrel in any real meaningful way. Is that kind of safe to say, especially now that they added Alex Wilson, that they're probably just going to go forward here with the bullpen they have?
Well, it certainly looks that way. I think they did talk to Kimbrel's agent. I'm guessing it didn't go anywhere. You know, Kimbrel, considering he doesn't appear to have a ton of leverage, apparently is still seeking a very large contract for a high number of years. And when I say he doesn't have much leverage, that could change at any time if a contending team, you know, lost their closer and money was no object. So But money is an object to the Brewers, and I'm guessing that they had something that they felt comfortable with salary-wise for Kimbrel. And I'm guessing it would be something that would be backloaded because they have some contracts going on now that are gonna be going that will be expiring in the next year or two, and then they could probably afford to add Kimbrel's contract. So whatever was discussed, it doesn't seem to have gone anywhere. I don't know if the Braves are still in on him, but we're getting ready to start the season. He has had no spring training. Last year, Greg Holland tried that approach, and then when the Cardinals signed him, he was terrible, and they ended up getting rid of him. You do need some spring training, and so even if Kimbrel signed with the team today, I wonder when he'd be able to start pitching in the major leagues. It would probably be a while.
The addition, as I mentioned, of Alex Wilson, you had said on the last podcast, there's always that late bullpen guy in Brewers, especially in the Stearns era, that the Brewers seem to add at the last second. I suppose that in this case is Alex Wilson. He pitched quite a bit with the Tigers, kind of a cutter sinker type. You've gotten to chat with him a little bit. What is it that you think he brings that he brings to the table?
Well, he's a veteran reliever. He's pitched a lot of games for Boston and Detroit over his career. He's a ground ball guy, which is a good thing at Miller Park. So I think he's going to get thrown right into the mix in the late innings. They're going to have some guys step up now until Jeffress comes back. They hope he's going to be back sometime before the end of April. And then, like we just discussed, who knows with Knebel. But they're going to have to have guys step up. And he's going to be one of the guys that has to step up, and he has pitched high leverage before, and so I think we're going to see a lot of Alex Wilson.
The bullpen in general, even if we're not talking about those top end guys, is still sort of, I guess, the last area of the roster that you would say might be a little bit in flux. Hard to tell if it'll be Jake Patrica for that last spot. Jacob Barnes is in the mix there. We've already learned that Chase Anderson is going to be starting the season in the bullpen, and the Brewers have elected to go with a rotation of all three of those young pitchers, Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burnes, and Freddy Peralta. I mean, I guess we always thought that was a possibility. I don't know if that was the expectation that that's what the Brewers were going to do. As you look at this bullpen now in total, does it? I don't want to say it's a question mark. You've still got Josh Hader, one of the most elite relievers in the game, if not the most elite. But does the bullpen give you pause? Do you see it now as a little bit of a question mark? Because you've got guys who, like Chase Anderson, who haven't been in that role, and some unproven guys sort of at the in the middle, the middle tier of that bullpen. How do you sort of evaluate it?
Well, it's gonna change a lot from the bullpen that they ended last season with, because beyond the injuries to Jeffress and Knebel, Burnes and Woodruff were kind of key members of that bullpen, and at times Peralta was too in the postseason. And now they're all in the rotation, so those arms are subtracted from the bullpen. The good news is they're added to the rotation, and the Brewers are excited about their future. And so, it's all kinds of different guys in there now, and then some guys that have gone back and forth from the minors to the majors, like Barnes and Taylor Williams. And so I think Jake Petrushka, we're going to see a lot of him this year. They have a new lefty, Alex Claudio. So they've got some new guys, and bullpens are kind of like that, JR. Bullpens change from year to year. They change from day to day, sometimes month to month. But bullpens are always kind of fluid, and we're certainly going to start this year with a fluid situation in the Brewers bullpen.
Switching away from the pitching staff, you wrote at jsonline.com about Mike Moustakas and the comfort level that he feels now that he's a full-time second baseman. And I just would I guess I'm wondering what you're seeing with your own eyes. If he seems to be saying all the right things, that he says he's comfortable, and we saw last year that he's capable of playing in that neck of the woods. But you've been watching him play second base. Does it seem like this transition is going to go pretty smoothly?
Well, I think he feels very comfortable out there now. He's been there for over a month, and he's played a lot of games in spring training there. And we've discussed it before. The Brewers do a lot of defensive infield shifting, and so sometimes you have second base next to your name in the box score, but you're not standing at second base a whole lot. When the Brewers shift against right-handed hitters, the second baseman quite often is playing up the middle. When they shift against left-handed hitters, quite often he's out in right field. So I think the amount of shifting the Brewers do kind of blurs the lines there. and makes it easier for somebody new to play second base. Travis Shaw is a very good third baseman. Arcia is a at times great shortstop, and so they have great coverage on the left side of the infield. Aguilar holds his own for a big guy at first base, and so that leaves it to Moustakas. The one thing he hasn't really done yet is turn double plays, and it's just Craig Council says that's more of a indictment of offenses than defenses because guys just aren't hitting a lot of ground balls. That launch angles are kind of prevailing over ground balls right now. So we'll see how he does. The first time he makes a mistake that hurts him in a game, people are going to start howling. But let's be real about what this is all about. This is about getting Moustakas' bat in the lineup. Last night he had an RBI single and a double. Their lineup is so deep now, especially with left-handed hitting and left-handed power hitting. I mean, they put on quite a display Monday night here in Montreal against Toronto's right-handed pitchers. Shaw hit a home run. Grandal hit one, almost hit two. Guys are knocking the ball all over the place. Ben Gamel's looking really good. So that, particularly from the left side, they have some guys that are going to be tough to deal with in their lineup.
I don't know if there's much to say about the team trading Eric Kratz to San Francisco. It seemed like that was sort of the writing was on the wall. They've obviously got Yasmani Grandal brought in as a free agent, Manny Pena, the natural sort of second catcher on this roster, and you don't need three at the start of the year. So Kratz, who was such a key piece to what the Brewers did last year, and obviously a big fan favorite, is headed to San Francisco. Brewers got a Double-A player in return. I know that's a bummer for you guys, for the guys who cover the team, because Kratz is such an interesting guy and easy to talk to and a lot of fun. But seemed like this move was just an inevitability.
Well, they knew from the start of spring training that if Grandal and Pena stayed healthy, Eric Kratz was not going to play another game for the Brewers in the regular season. They just weren't going to be able to keep three catchers. So you get to the point where if you try to get him through waivers to keep him in your system, it's probably not going to work. Somebody's going to claim him. So then you have to see if you can get something for him. And they had enough. David Stearns said there were several teams that had interest in him. So then you just try to strike the best deal you can and get somebody in return. And they felt the Giants made the best offer, infielder CJ Hinojosa, who will go to Double A. And yeah, everybody hated to see Kratz go, but he's the number three catcher on a two catcher team.
As we've reached sort of the end here of the spring training season, I'm just, I guess, off the top of your head, curious if there are other things that have stood out to you. I know Travis Shaw seems to be hitting the ball very well as we head toward the season. Are there things that you're interested to see how it will translate from the spring to the regular season, or questions that you still have, players that haven't quite hit their stride yet, that you're mostly interested in seeing these first couple weeks of the regular season?
Well, I think their lineup, which we've pretty much known what it's going to be for a long time now, is going to be a good lineup. So it's going to be all about the pitching. I think the three young pitchers, Peralta, Woodruff, and Burns, are in the rotation, are going to have a big key to the season. And we talked about the new arms in the bullpen, but every time you forget that it's all about the pitching, something happens to make you realize it's all about the pitching. So I don't think this Brewers team is going to have trouble scoring runs, but can they prevent runs? That's going to be the question. So, I think most teams' question marks involve their pitching because you just never seem to have enough. But the Brewers, it's just going to go a long ways to deciding whether this team's going to be able to contend for the division again or not. And particularly those three young starting pitchers. Because let's face it, if those guys cover some innings and do a good job, then they'll take some pressure off the bullpen. And you can't manage your bullpen and your pitching staff all season long like the Brewers did at the end of last season. You can't have the relievers pitching more innings than the starting pitchers over a whole season. It's just not going to work that way. So they need to get some innings out of their starters, and that's going to determine how their season goes.
You did give some predictions of who you thought would win the divisions and how you thought the Brewers would do in that special section, that preview section. available again at jsonline.com. But I guess I'm wondering if there's any other bold prediction, or maybe I'll frame it this way. If this team doesn't win 90 games, they won 96 last year, 90 is sort of that unofficial cutoff where it feels like if you've won 90 games, you're probably a playoff team. Obviously, that depends on the divisions and whatnot. But if this team doesn't win 90 games, do you think it'll be because something went wrong, or just because, you know, this team isn't, you know, a lot of things still have to go right for them to reach that threshold? How do you sort of feel? I mean, I guess the best question is this a playoff team in your mind?
Well, let's see how many teams win 90 games in the Central. You know, the Central looks way better than it was last year. The Cardinals did not like missing the playoffs for the third straight year. That's a long absence for them. So they went out and got Paul Goldschmidt, and then not only got him, extended him 5 years. So good luck to everybody in the division facing him for the next 5 years. You know, the Pirates, I don't know about their offense, but their pitching is really good. And the Reds just have changed just about everything, you know, manager, coaches, players. So let's wait and see how it all comes together for them. Sometimes when you change so much all at once, it doesn't work. But let's see what happens with them. And then you have the Brewers and the Cubs, so who tied with 95 wins last year and had to play one extra game. You know, it's a heck of a thing when you play 162 games and it's still not enough. And then you got to play one more for the division title. So the Cubs and the Brewers each tied with 95 wins. I'm not sure you can win 95 games in the division this year because I just think it's going to be the toughest division in the leagues. And also just the entire National League looks stronger to me. Miami's probably the only team that's like still in massive rebuilding mode. Everybody, you know, Philadelphia loaded for bear. You have San Diego signed Machado, so that ended their rebuild. This is going to be – I just think the whole league is going to be tough this year. And the Brewers have a tough April schedule too. So the Brewers and the Cardinals play 10 times in April. You only play them 19 times all year, and you're going to play 10 of them in April? That's kind of nutty scheduling.
Yeah, now, if I recall last year, I don't know if this is accurate. I think it is. Paul Goldschmidt really struggled to start last year. So maybe the Brewers will get a little lucky and Goldschmidt will have a slow start in April. All those April games, it'll look good for the Brewers. But you're right, that's a tough new addition to the Central. And you look at the American League, lots of teams that are still what you would call tanking, or maybe that's too harsh, but a lot of teams that are in that bottom tier. And then the NL, there's really only two or three teams that are in that bottom tier. So it should be interesting. Tom, I'm looking forward to opening day Thursday at Miller Park. The St. Louis Cardinals come to town March 28th. The season is upon us. But, it's gonna be an interesting ride, Tom. We look forward to it.
All right, JR. We're getting ready. And like you said, Thursday, it's hard to believe it's here. It's a very early start to the season, March 28th. But here we go.
Thanks to Tom for joining me today on the Brewers Journal Sentinel podcast. Don't forget, find us on Apple Podcasts. Rate us and review us. Let us know what you think. Now's the time to do it. As you're getting set, we're going to be coming at you about once a week with Brewers, the Brewers podcast. So please, please, please do us a favor. Rate us, review us, and help us reach more people. That's a huge help to us if you do that in Apple Podcasts. Obviously, you can find us on Spotify and Stitcher as well. Thanks for tuning in. We will chat with you again soon. Hope you enjoy the games, the first games of the season. And stay warm out there, and hopefully this season is as exciting as the last one. Take care. Talk to you soon.